You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Russia has recently announced their annexation of Ukrainian territory, but the move has been deemed illegal and condemned by many actors. Aotearoa joined the chorus of condemnation this week. Today I spoke to Jeffrey Miller, a geopolitical analyst from the Democracy Project, about the significance of our nation's response. I started by asking Jeffrey to recap the significance of Russia's illegal annexation of Ukraine.
Yes, well, this is Putin's way of raising the stakes, really. Russia was doing very badly on the battlefield in the east of Ukraine. They had suffered major losses to Ukrainian counter-offensives, and this was a way of escalating the conflict by simply saying that these four areas of eastern Ukraine, namely the Kherson, the Zaporizhia, and the Donetsk and Luhansk regions, are Russian territory. You know, that puts them on the same level as Crimea, which Russia formally annexed back in 2014. So in some ways, nothing has really changed. You know, Russia was trying to invade these areas a couple of weeks ago. They are still doing so now. So in some ways, nothing has changed, but it is just a symbolic way, I guess, of raising the stakes. There's some suggestion that this also changes Russian nuclear doctrine. If these areas are part of Russia, then Russia is under an obligation to defend them by all means, including nuclear weapons. But I'm not sure whether that, to what extent that really applies. You know, there have been Ukrainian attacks on Crimea, for example, which already holds that status. And Russia has not reacted with the nuclear option. But I think it is still worth thinking about that nuclear weapons threat. I think it's a serious one, does need to be taken as such.
And New Zealand has officially condemned the move, with the Prime Minister saying that we do not recognise these illegal attempts to change Ukraine's borders or territorial sovereignty. So in terms of international relations, what does a refusal to recognise this move mean for present and possibly future relations with Russia and also with Ukraine?
Well, New Zealand's in very good company with this refusal to recognise these areas as being Russian territory. No country has actually officially recognised these territories as being part of Russia as yet, is my understanding. We may see some countries, the likes of Syria and North Korea, do so, but New Zealand is in very good company. Many, many countries have taken this position as well, that it's an illegal annexation. So, I think New Zealand's biggest steps were earlier in the year when New Zealand condemned the invasion and also introduced sanctions. That was perhaps the biggest step that New Zealand took, introducing sanctions on autonomous sanctions, which New Zealand hadn't done before against a country we'd always worked under, just under the UN umbrella up to that point. But with Russia being a permanent member of the Security Council, UN sanctions weren't an option here. And New Zealand's also sent military support to Ukraine. I think all of those were probably bigger steps than this condemnation, which you would expect. It would have been a big surprise if New Zealand hadn't condemned these annexations. But it is still an important. It's also important to show your disapproval. And the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister were both quick to put out a statement on Saturday condemning the annexations.
And as you just mentioned, our Foreign Affairs Minister Nanaia Mahuta has signalled an increase in sanctions as a result of the illegal annexation. Could you detail what those are and maybe touch on their ramifications?
Yeah, we don't know exactly what the new sanctions will be, but New Zealand's been on this path all year since the Russia Sanctions Act was passed in March. Now, that law was enabling legislation, essentially, but all the sanctions themselves then had to be really put in place. So the law in Parliament was really the macro, and the sanctions themselves are the micro, and you need to define what exactly you're sanctioning. So a lot of them are financial-related, sanctioning Russian banks, Russian energy supplies, pretty much anyone who is supporting the war in some form. So there's also a lot of individuals on the list, and you've seen leaders added to the list, leaders from these four regions, for example, who are Russia's proxies being added to the list. And a lot of this is symbolic, given that New Zealand didn't necessarily have a lot of direct relations with Russia or all these people anyway. I mean, it's just not likely that, these proxies of Russia, these leaders in the east of Ukraine, are going to be having anything to do with New Zealand in the future anyway. But it's a symbolic thing. But we have seen exports and imports basically cut off between Russia and New Zealand. Again, those volumes were not high, but for what it's worth, they've almost dwindled to nothing. Though we had about around about $30 million worth of exports going to Russia each year, mainly the likes of dairy products, wine. They've basically gone to nil. They're not banned as such, but because of the financial sanctions, it's basically illegal for New Zealand banks to have anything to do with Russian banks, and that's how you can effectively cut off exports to Russia from New Zealand.
And you touched on it there with the symbolic actions, but are our actions growing more or less firm or extreme, so to speak, or have they been fairly consistent as the conflict goes on? You did mention that our heavier actions kind of happened earlier in the year at the start of the conflict.
I'm surprised there isn't more pressure for New Zealand to do more again. There was a lot of pressure on New Zealand earlier in the year, and New Zealand initially did not send what's called lethal aid weapons to Ukraine. Eventually we sent a small amount of money, $7.5 million, relatively small. We sent that money to the United Kingdom to buy weapons for Ukraine. But there was never any follow-up to that. We've sent, all kinds of other things. We've sent, helmets and vests, and we've sent people to Ukraine to the United Kingdom, I should say, to train Ukrainian soldiers. About 120 New Zealand soldiers were sent back in August, and there was an earlier group earlier in the year that was sent for the same reason. So they're training Ukrainian soldiers in the United Kingdom who will then go back to Ukraine. But I thought we might see some pressure on Jacinda Ardern and on the government to send more weaponry. It hasn't really happened, and she doesn't seem keen on sending more. She's emphasised the sanctions route, which is all a bit symbolic now, now that most of those sanctions have already come in, now that exports and imports have dwindled to a trickle. I'm not sure there's a whole lot more that you can do that's really going to provide some material impact in terms of sanctions. Probably, if you wanted to make an impact, it's things like sending weaponry that would do so, and also visiting Ukraine. Jacinda Ardern has been invited to visit Ukraine and visit Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv, but she hasn't been so keen on that so far. So we also haven't seen Volodymyr Zelensky address the New Zealand Parliament. That request has been issued by Ukraine's ambassador to New Zealand. Zelensky's addressed many Western parliaments virtually by video link. He's not addressed New Zealand's parliament. So I think there are those kinds of things that probably matter more at this point than adding more lines on the sanctions list, which I think are, for the most part, more symbolic.
And kind of related to that, you and I have spoken in the past about New Zealand's so-called image or personality as a nation, maybe brand for lack of a better word, and whether it's congruent with these formal decisions that are being made at high levels, like this recent condemnation. So would you say that this is a case where we're acting in accordance with that so-called brand of New Zealand?
There's an old sort of saying or cliche about New Zealand's foreign policy that New Zealand wants to be seen as a good global citizen. And I would agree that a lot of New Zealand's actions are probably consistent with that. Jacinda Ardern went over to the UN recently and condemned Russia's invasion, and Jacinda Ardern is of course very skilled at the media side of things, and she's very popular as a leader internationally for that approach. I think there can often be a gap between what New Zealand's rhetoric is and what its actions are, and that applies to lots of things in foreign policy. But I think here as well, I think a lot of foreign observers would be kind of surprised that, for all of the talk from Jacinda Ardern, that New Zealand's actually at the moment trying to not get too far involved in the war. I think there has been a bit of a recalibration again. Early in the year, I think New Zealand was a bit more gung-ho, a bit more on the pro-Western side. I think there's been some pullback to that, and there's a realisation that New Zealand's positioning is it's a bit more sensitive than that, given that China is New Zealand's biggest trading partner by far, that there is some problems with precedent here. If you go too hard on Russia and you become too much on the pro-Western side of things, there may be increased pressure to go further on China, for example, in the future. And New Zealand's trading position simply doesn't support that. So, I think it's a complex picture, like anything, and there's a lot to it in terms of New Zealand's approach at the moment.
That was me speaking with Jeffrey Miller from the Democracy Project about the significance of Aotearoa's formal condemnation of Russia's annexation of Ukraine.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.